Blessing be to the staff members. Early this morning I greet to all. A request from the Constitution and the invite from the Portfolio Committee. As we are here, you will respond to the request in giving those required reports to us. Our agenda is very short, but presentations are too long. The main account from DOA and the water entities, TCTA, LRV, I think all those should be reported here. And Auditor General's report. Is Auditor General present here? Okay, thank you very much. Can I take this opportunity, as I've already welcoming you, invite the acting DG to Ntabiseng to present a report on behalf of the department, and thereafter it will be questions from members and inputs, and from there we'll continue with our program. Ntabiseng, if you are ready, over to you. You may start.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Before I start with the presentation, I think it should be wise to introduce the team that I'm with. I'm acting on behalf of the acting DG, Trevor Balzer. Apology for him, he's not going to be with us, and therefore acting DG for the period. With me, I have the support staff that will be responding to all the questions related to the specifics of the program. On my left-hand side, I've got Babalwa, who's responsible for corporate planning. Next to her is Mr. Mpomo Fokeng, the CFO WTE. Next to him is Mr. Visafika from International Water Corporation. Next to her is Ms. Deborah Muchotli, DDG, Planning and Information. Next to her is Ms. Zandile Mate, DDG, National Water Resource Infrastructure. On my back is Ms. Tandika Mbasa. Next is well known. Next to her is Ms. Tokosi Baza, responsible for institutional oversight. On my back is Ms. Mamate Makeke Makwani, the CIO. And at the back is Vincent Munene, the support to the COO. Next to him is Ms. Mbeki Nombulelo Mbeki, responsible for supply chain management. And next to her is Mr. Franz Moate, Chief Director, Financial Management. And next to him is Oscar Mulauzi, responsible for labor relations, Director Labor Relations. And next to him is Ms. Elenin Dalin, Director Recruitment and Selection. So we have brought all the team that will be able to respond to all areas that will be raised by the members. And also to announce to you, Chair, that we are happy to announce to you that we no longer have any DDGs acting. We have all appointed the DDGs. So all the DDGs that are present with us are fully fledged appointed. The two that are not with us is Mr. Squire Mashangu, who's been appointed as a DDG Corporate Services, and Mr. Anil Singh, DDG regulations and compliance. So those are the two that I'm tendering the apology for them. Thank you, Chair. I'll then shoot straight to our presentation. Our presentation is divided into three portions. One is dealing with the main overall...
Before you continue, according to the operation of this portfolio committee and yourselves as department, you're supposed to bring the entities here. But I should think before the end of this day, you must give us the report of why they are not here, so that you can present that report to the chair of the committee. Thanks, you may continue. Just proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We will give the report, but I must indicate that in the invitation we will not requested to bring the entities, and that's why this topic is here, but we will provide with the report. Thank you, Chair. The presentation is outlined into three parts. Part one deals with the main account, which is the overall of the department, and the second part deals with the water trading entity, which is in our in-house. And Ms. Mate will take us through together with the CFO, Mr. Mofokeng. And then the part three deals with the entities and Ms. Toko Segwarda, who is responsible for the institutional oversight, will then take us through the report. Okay. Chair, there seems to be... Okay. The first part, Chair, really deals with our mandate as a department, and I'm sure if you allow, I can really pass that so that I can go straight to the report that is required as the main purpose of this presentation. Okay. Then the second part of then talks to the overview of the financial and also the non-financial performance, reporting the period of 2012-2013. As a department, we had a goal to contribute to economic growth, rural development, food security, and land reform. Our outcomes are linked to the three outcomes, and our strategic objectives are stated as two and aligned to the program 3 and program 4 of our department. The second goal deals with to promote sustainable and equitable water resource management that is linked to outcome 10, which is environment, with the six objectives that are linked to that goal. The responsible program to those outcomes is program 1, program 2, and program 4, respectively. Then the next goal is to strengthen the regulation of the water sector. Aligned to that is outcome 6 and 10. Our objectives as a department, there are three strategic objectives linked to that goal. The responsible program to that is program 4, which is regions, and also program 5, regulations. The next goal that we report on is the support to local governments to deliver water services. Linked to that is outcome 9, that is for local governments. And our objective, strategic objective linked to that is to ensure the provision of local government institutional support. And the program that deals with that objective is program 2. The next goal that we report on is to contribute to improve in our international relations linked to outcome 11, which is international, with our main objective, strategic objective, and our key program to that is International Water Cooperation Program 6. The last goal that we're reporting on is build capacity to deliver quality services that is linked to the outcome 12, the public service, with two strategic objectives that are linked to the goal. And the main key program to that is program 1. As a department, our programs are then divided into 6, but with the reinforcement of water infrastructure management that will be reporting as an entity, but the money that is being reported in our budget structure is through the augmentation that we do to program 3. Our performance as a department, we have performed fairly better compared to the performance of the previous year of 2011-2012. We have reported our achievements from the goals that I have indicated above, 53% that we have achieved. We have partially achieved 35% of our goals, and partially because the achievement that we have achieved was not 100%, it was between 50 and 99%, and what we have not achieved as a department is 12%. That is our overall. And in terms of our indicators that we have achieved, we managed to achieve 30 indicators for the year under review, and we have achieved 20 indicators, and what we have not achieved out of the 12% is amounting to 7. Going through our financial status, we have improved from the previous financial year, as we have made the commitment that we will slowly and gradually.
Sorry, this achievement that we are talking about is for the whole year.
For the whole year, Chair.
For the whole year.
Yes.
2012-2013. Okay, continue.
Chair, when we look at our financial position compared to the previous financial year, we had a vast in terms of underspending, but for this the year under review we have improved, and we stood at 96% in terms of spending our budget. And as you know, that we reported in our last report that our target for this year that we are is 98%, moving gradually towards the 100%. We had number of reasons in terms of the underspending that has been incurred. We underspent by 351 million out of the budget of 8.9 billion. We managed to spend 8.6. However, there are reasons why there was underspending, which I will indicate later in the presentation. Can you move forward? Okay. In terms of the overall of our breaking down into economic of classification, our compensation of employees with a budget of 1 billion, we had an underspending of 10.7 million, which makes 99% of the spending that of the money that we've been allocated with. For goods and services, out of the budget of 1.3, we spent 1.2, which results to 98%. The interest on rent that's related to the leases of the motor vehicles and the equipment in the department, out of a budget of 3.6, we have spent 96%. Our transfers to municipalities and also to the relevant municipalities and entities within the department, that is how we have spent. We have spent the 100% in terms of our allocation. Out of the 351 that is in underspending, we have requested the rollover from National Treasury, which we were allocated an amount of 188 of the rollover that we have requested. One of the bulk of that rollover, it was made out of the AMD to the amount of 108 million. Okay. Yes. So linked to the performance of the budget, we then broke down into to the program. But in terms of the details of the achievements, we have linked it to page 33 of our annual report. That's where we will find our detailed presentation. But for corporate services, out of the 9 objectives that we ought to achieve, we have achieved 6 indicators. 2 were partially achieved, and 1 indicator could not be achieved. We will, in detail, give the explanation of the non-achievement. In terms of departmental management, 1 indicator was partially achieved, and 1 was not achieved out of the 2 of the indicators. Financial management, 2 of the indicators that ought to have been achieved, they were partially achieved, and it will be later indicated when we deal with our audit analysis. In terms of program 1, the achievements that we have indicated, those 6 indicators that we have achieved, some of them amount to the employees, the training intervention that we have conducted as a department. Out of 8,329 employees, we managed through our workplace skills plan, trained 6,829, which leads up to 82% of our employees being trained. We have managed to reduce our vacancy rate compared to the previous, where we have reported 24.8% as our vacancy rate, and with the efforts and strides that we are making to appoint all the posts in the department, by 2012-13, we stood at a vacancy rate of 10.7. And gradually that vacancy rate will be reduced, as I've also indicated that all our senior positions from at a CDG level are now being filled. The posts that are vacant would be the posts that have been vacated by the officials who have been promoted to the Deputy Director General level. Out of the graduate trainees that we have admitted in our academy learning, we have 61 graduate trainees that have been successfully been in our development program. And out of them, then we also have 66 graduate trainees that have been placed into permanent posts or candidate posts. That is in view of program one. We have some challenges though that we could not achieve in the previous financial year. Among the challenges that we had was the diversity management. We still have the challenge in terms of reaching the target of 50% of women. We are standing at 38% in as whole as a department. But if you look at our top management, we have reached the target of 50%. One of our challenges that we could not reach, and which we are really working hard to make sure that we reach the percent of 2%, is on the people with disability that have been employed in the department. We are sitting at 0.85% as a department, but we are really working hard to ensure that we reach the percent of 2%. Our unit of gender, they are, when they do the employment, do employ those people who are, have disability. They've also encouraged other members, other managers in the department to also consider when making appointments, to consider to appoint people with disabilities. Moving on to, this is an overview in terms of program one. I really don't have to go through it. I have done the overall on it. Then program two, our program two deals with our water sector management. In terms of the achievements that we have achieved, we have a total of 6 indicators that we have achieved out of 16 indicators that were targeted. Part of those 16, we have 6 that were partially achieved and 4 of them were not achieved. The achievements that are added in program 2, as we speak, we have managed to finalize the National Water Resource Strategy, which Ms. Gwaza will talk into it in detail in terms of the program. Out of the reconciliation strategies, we have completed 4. Four reconciliation strategies, 3 being the Old Towns and 1 in Oliphant River. The operating rules for 25 of the targeted 12 standalone schemes were also developed, so we have made some strides in terms of achieving in that area. However, we did have some challenges in this area. Of water services, water sector support. The challenges that we experience during the year is additional specialist studies that were required, but however, due to the delays in completion of the feasibility studies, we could not achieve what we wanted to achieve. We also have experience in the area of deterrence, the unrest that had the impact on the completion of the resource quality objectives. The lack of technical expertise is also a role that is playing in terms of the challenges that we have experienced. However, we are putting some intervention in order to improve in these areas. In terms of the overall of our program 2, we really have improved when we look at the spending of the budget. In the previous financial year, this program was underspending by 340, but in this year, 12-13, the program only underspent their budget with 1 million. I think in our previous presentation, when we were here for 11 and 12, the members was also very hard on us to ask and request to give motivations why would the core program that would underspend their budget that are meant to spend. This program, I must indicate that it has improved in terms of the management. Our program 4, which is our back program, which deals with the implementation at the regional level and the support. We have improved in terms of our intergovernmental relationships. In the past year, there was collaboration that has been entered into between the COOs of the Department of Water Affairs, and Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs. Those relationships has really improved the interaction that we have had in order to improve our service delivery challenges. That has also been grown up to increase to Department of Human Settlement, which has now come into the party in order to accelerate the service delivery on water issues. The rapid response unit was decentralized to all 9 regions, and therefore the results were then seen better than when it was at the centralized level. Out of the wastewater treatment works, we have completed 3, one in the northwest, one in the northern Cape, in Coastbed area, and in Western Cape. The infrastructure bus projects that were completed in the year under review, there were 3, one in the Eastern Cape, one in Free State, and also in KwaZulu-Natal. However, we had some challenges in this area. Part of the underspending that we have experienced was due to the ASBIC project. There were delays in completing some of the projects, some being the technical problems that were encountered during the progress of the project. Some has been the addition to the scope that was already been there, which has made the delays in completing the project. The Sidibeng District Municipality wastewater bulk amount to 3.8 billion, split into 3 projects, which is still underway. We had some challenges in terms of the progress in that area. The OR Tambo registered 2 projects to the estimated cost of 2.2 billion, and OR Tambo at the King Sabata area, the Lindiaba Sanitation with the. Those are to be completed in February 2018. However, there are some interventions that we have put in place to ensure that we are progressing well in terms of the program.
So, sorry, before you continue to the next section, can you please elaborate on the scientific numbers of billions that you talked about there? Can you explain clearly? You said 1.2 billion. 256 million, 2.4 billion. Can you just explain that sentence? Because it's too scientific. We really don't understand it.
Chair, in terms of the billions that I have alluded on, is the billions that are related to to the three different projects that are listed there. In terms of the challenges that have been experienced in detail, the respective manager who was responsible for program 4 will be able to give us the details of the challenges around that project.
Chair. Is this money spent or it's still going to be spent?
It's still going to be spent. In terms of the indicators that we have targeted to achieve, there were 19 indicators that were to be achieved. 7 of them were fully achieved. 7 of them were partially achieved, and only 1 that was not achieved. In terms of the budget spent on this program, as I indicated, does have the bulk of our budget. The budget being allocated to it is 4.9 billion. It managed to spend 4.7 billion, and with an underspending of 205 million. There are reasons that have been alluded in terms of the understanding in this program. One being the issue of the regional bulk project, as I had indicated. We have requested the rollover for those monies that were not spent in the particular program. One of the reasons that has made this program to underspend in terms of our reconciliation on water services projects. The water services projects are being constructed by our construction unit in the WTE. And when we reconcile the invoices takes about 6 weeks before we can get the invoices in the main account. So that is one of the reasons that has made this program to understand. But as I've indicated, bulk of the rollover that we have requested amounts from this program. Program 5, which is our water sector regulation, we have managed to achieve some indicators. One of the indicators that we have achieved is the institutional options for the establishment of the economic regulations that was developed. Safety evaluations were completed in 148 dams, and we also have the joint inspections between Department of Environmental Affairs and Department of Minerals and Resources that yielded compliance monitoring in 92 mines and 31 investigations for compliance purposes were conducted. We have, however, had some challenges in this program. The appeals and objectives that received delay. That has delayed the compulsory licenses process in the targeted water management areas. We have engaged with water users to make sure that we have an amicable solution in this area. However, the manager responsible will also deal with it in details when questions arise. With regards to the indicators that we have achieved, as I've indicated, there were 3 indicators that were achieved, with 2 that were partially achieved and none were not achieved. So five of the indicators that were indicated have been achieved. Looking at the financial overall, this program has underspent by 13 million and also have improved from the previous financial year where it was underspending by 21 million. There are a number of areas that has caused some contributed into the underspending. Mainly this program had some challenges in terms of filling the vacant posts, especially on the occupational specific dispensation. There were some delays in terms of appointing the service providers in respect of the broadband facility project that has also has contributed into the underspending of this program. As a result of the delays in filling the position of the OSDs, some funding that were allocated to be spent as operating expenditure could not be spent because there were no filled posts that were filled. In terms of program 6, which our last program, this program has actually managed to achieve a number of indicators on the that were listed as their target. A strategic partnership agreement was signed with the Ugandans for that particular year, and there were two financing agreements signed with the Dutch Orio for infrastructure grants for the areas of Elundini and Umgungundlovu municipality in the KZN. In terms of the achievement of the indicators, all of the four indicators that were targeted when they achieved in this area. With relation to their budget allocated, the underspending that they had, it was really insignificant. It was 1.5, and the reason for their underspending was mainly on the posts that were not filled, that were vacated. I'll then hand over to... I've indicated that some of the problems that we had has resulted us into having the qualification. We had 9 qualifications in the previous financial year. On the year under review, the qualification were dropped to 4. There were some improvements and plans that we have put in place to ensure that we move out of the qualifications. However, we had qualifications on commitment, and if you look at the previous financial year, the qualification of commitment was there, but however in this year it reflects differently from how it was qualified. We had a qualification in terms of active projects on the values of how it was committed in our books. We have worked so hard to ensure that this qualification goes away for this year that we will be reporting on. The reasons that has caused this qualification was really on the issue of the cost the department that it has used versus the cost that the municipalities as the implementing agent that could have been used. We have put plans in this regard to ensure that we this matter is been resolved. We have contacted all the municipalities because the reasons of the AG not confirming the amount that has been disclosed was the lack of documentation that was not in our possession at the time. And the documentation was lying with our implementing agents, which is the municipalities. We have now since reconciled all the project costs. However, I must indicate that this is a project that the process that we are doing in order for reporting for our interim financial statements. However, we would not be reinstating anything in our financial statements until we get all the information that has been collected from the different municipalities. But to improve the situation, we have also increased the capacity of the RBIF team. We have assigned a dedicated official to ensure that we have proper reconciliation between the project costs. The second qualification that we have received was the accrual, and this was related to the prior year, which is 11 and 12, the amount that was disclosed and the supporting documents that were submitted to AG. Though AG looked at our supporting documents, they felt not comfortable enough in terms of the controls that we have put in the accrual. I must indicate that in terms of the progress that we have made in this area, we have strengthened our controls with ensuring that on a monthly basis our reporting are done on all the accruals, and these are related to the payments also that ought to be made within the 30 days as stipulated by PFMA. We have also made sure that we review our system, which is LOGIS, the procurement system. All regions now are having a LOGIS and it is implemented. The third qualification that we had was the irregular. This was as a result of incompleteness of irregulars that were found in our different regions. And we do have admitted that indeed in terms of reporting and uncovering the irregulars at the regional level, we had some lack of control. We have since improved the situation, and we have increased the awareness of the importance of the irregulars, and also put more control on how to manage our procurement. In addition, we have also made sure that our financial misconduct advisory committee that has been implemented is fully working. It is really fully implemented. All irregulars that have been incurred have now been referred to that committee. Some have been condoned. Some are being looked at in terms of how the assessment would be, the outcome of the assessment of the irregulars. But in addition, we have strengthened our reporting, especially on the SCM requirements, because most of our contributing factors in terms of our irregular was the non-compliance to the SCM. We have increased the controls also by ensuring that all invoices have been centralized at one point to ensure that the payments are done in a proper way and controls are being conducted by the compliance officers. The last qualification that we had was on immovable tangible assets. This was related to the ASIC assets, where the split of the assets on capturing on the system was not split per project within the municipality. How it was captured, the asset was captured per municipality, and then when we look at our asset register, then it did not talk to what has been captured in terms of the asset, and therefore it had some disjunction in terms of our reporting. We have since then corrected the situation in terms of the allocation of the project per municipality and per project. That would be the end of. That would be the end of the presentation. Then we had the findings on the predetermined objectives, which I have covered when I did non-performance information. I'll hand over to Ms. Mate and Mr. Mufugeng to deal with the WTE part in terms of the performance of non-performance as well as financial.
Okay. Before you continue to sort of say this, and entities, can we invite AG to make his input on the part of the main account? But before that, I just want to know from you, DDG, the report that was delivered here. These irregular expenditures are not part of the report that we sent back as portfolio committee. And if it was part, did you make any corrections on this matter? And how? Because I really don't understand clearly on this part. Can you just respond to that question so they can give it to AJ on the main account?
Chair, in terms of the irregular, yes, we have responded in the irregular. If I can perhaps give the breakdown in terms of the actions that we have taken against the irregular that has been incurred. Out of the amount that has been reported, the bulk of the figure that makes the billion was 869 million, that was for 2010-2011 related to ARBIC. It was classified as an irregular because of the misclassification of the schedules that was accounted in our books. The matter was referred to National Treasury for them to condone the, because it was a contravention into Division of the Revenue Act, which is DORA. The matter is still with the National Treasury. We are in fully engagement with them. They have referred the matter to their legal for the legal opinion whether should the matter be condoned by them as National Treasury or should be condoned by Parliament. So we are still in those engagements. But the last when we had a meeting, we have agreed that we will in our meeting then invite AG, because it was actually AG that has classified the matter as an irregular. So the parties will be meeting together to ensure how do we then remove the situation of the 869. Part of the, or in the figures of the irregular, 4.2 has been recommended for condonement. So they will be condoned. It was recommended by the committee. And the amount of 8.9 million has been considered by Financial Misconduct Advisory Committee, and they have already been condoned. The amount of 12.6, which was related to an overpayment of the Inkomati Cashment Agency, that amount has already been recovered from their transfer. And the remaining of the irregulars that is also been referred to the misconduct. So I must say, in terms of addressing the issue of the irregulars, we are putting more pressures on the irregular expenditure conduct.
Honourable members, let me give the AG to make an input on the main account before you can come up with questions and inputs. AG, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. While we're putting out the technology, can we just put the colourful one on? Let me just introduce myself, Chair. I'm Alice Miller, the Corporate Executive from the Auditor General. We've printed a colourful document. It's a type of a dashboard for assistance to the committee. We also have a detailed document, but yesterday technology found us and our printer just gave up. So we have a detailed document as well electronically to the committee, and we'll print it as soon as we back on track there. I'm going to share to address your comments on the main account specifically. What we've seen this year, and I want to concur with the CFO, is a concerted effort to deal with the issues. As was mentioned, last year there were 9 qualifications, only 4 left. And of the 4, only 3 relate to the current year. The accruals relate to the prior year figure where we couldn't confirm the amount in the financials. I think what is very important, what has been established this year and that what needs to continue going forward, is the monthly disciplines. We've been talking a while about monthly disciplines and making sure that the department can give management assurance first, before the auditors walk in. It's important for us that the audit results should never be a surprise. Management should know when we start the audit what would be the result, because they've really got a good understanding of the issues. On the qualification on a regular expenditure check, the process we follow, and I think it's important to just explain this, we select procurement tenders for audit. Once we then identify irregular expenditure, we will request the department to go back and review all their tenders. Once that has been done, we will then select another sample. And if in that next sample we find one error, we draw the line and we say, you know what, we don't know whether this amount is complete, what is disclosed in the financial statement. I need to add that the irregular expenditure has been reduced significantly. The current year irregular expenditure was only 13 million. The bulk of the irregular expenditure that were disclosed in the financial statements related to prior years. So there was a tightening of controls. It just needs to be enhanced and it needs to be even tighter going forward. We know that the department has commenced with the process of visiting all the regions in order to make sure that the procurement in the region is done according to the process that has to be followed. gee, that's in the financial matters. On the compliance issues, the department has addressed some of the compliance issues, but there's still material non-compliance that needs to be addressed. For instance, there was non-compliance on the changes to the financial statement, and it was basically because the department was still putting in an effort to correct the financial statements. It wasn't a case where the department stopped at one stage and say, you know what, actually, here's the financials, we stop what we're doing. They were actually continuing to rectify the issues, which in itself is not a bad thing. It just means that the financial statements that were submitted for audit had to be corrected. There was also non-compliance related to some supply chain. As I mentioned, there were some supply chain matters that we detected. And then also HR issues. On HR, we've raised the issue where there was vacancies longer than 12 months, as well as certificates at pay points that were not, pay certificates that were not certified in all the regions. So again, attention needs to be given to creating an environment where there's a respect for laws and regulations, and that they will be adhered to. The CFO or the acting DG has also referred to the matters on the predetermined objectives and how transparently the department is reporting against it. We've raised a number of findings on performance information. Basically with regard to the fact that the targets were not specific, it was not useful. The way the targets were set last year was not useful. The committee will know that earlier this year we went through a process where we reviewed the targets for next year. And we believe that for next year there will be a significant improvement in the setting of the targets. At least the technical indicators have now been incorporated. There's been progress in that area. Also, last year we reported 92% of the targets were not fully achieved. This year that number, as was displayed earlier as well, has reduced significantly, which again talks to the fact that we will see improvement. We're very confident that we will see improvement. The other matter that we reported, not in the audit report, but in the management report that we think is worth mentioning, is the deficiencies in the IT controls. Of course, we believe it's very important for government to give attention to their IT and making sure that the general control environment is effective. It was reported only in the management report. Chair, to conclude on our assessment of the department, is that when we looked at the results, we said there were three root causes. The one was the vacancies, especially the vacancies at EDG level, that was subsequently filled, and we're very pleased about that. The other one was the capacity and skills, especially in the regions, that needs to be attended to. We've noted that the department is busy with the workplace skills plan to up the skills and provide training. But we would like to see a tighter leadership oversight over that process and making sure that every single person in the department is adequately skilled, especially to deal with financial matters, and then also to deal with, to be held accountable for non-compliance. We do believe that consequences is something that the department can tighten as well. A disciplinary committee has been set up during the course of this year, or last year, the year we report on, and we do believe that we will see some action this year. So in conclusion, Chair, we're cautiously optimistic that should the department keep up this level of energy and dedication, that they will be able to deal with the issues going forward. We are pleased with the improvement already reflected this year, although it's not reflected in a better outcome, and we would like to see that better outcome soon. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, AG. According to your opinion, as you have presented before us, you say there is a lot of improvement in the department. Are you convinced that they are getting to a clean audit? Your opinion, just brief us so that we can give members to ask questions.
Chair, I would say unqualified definitely next year, if they keep up the level of energy. To get you a clean audit, I believe it's going to take them another 2 to 3 years. Because you need to change the method of work in a department. You need to change the culture of compliance in a department, which is not something that you fix overnight. But it's fixed by introducing monthly controls, consequences of people that don't adhere to it, and in creating that culture of compliance. 2 to 3 years, but definitely I believe they can move out of their qualification next year.
Thanks very much, AG. Honourable members, your time now to ask questions and make inputs. Honourable Rogers.
Thanks, Chair. I've got a few questions, but I'll run through them. First of all, I've got some problem with the presentation. It's some of the figures are inaccurate. If you look at your overall department financial performance, and you look at regional implementation and support, you've got a budget of 5.2 billion. But in fact, your breakdown of that particular department doesn't tie up with a figure. It comes in at 4.9. So I'm not sure why there's a difference there between your overview of the department and then the actual department breakdown. There's a difference in your budget and your expenditure amounts there. Also, for every single program, you've got a breakdown. However, there's a breakdown missing for water infrastructure management. You've only got 5 reports here and you've got 6 programs here. So I'm not quite sure where that is. Then I want to concur with AG's report that if targets aren't smart, then you can't achieve them. Because if I look at the current targets and the achieved, and I'm talking about achieved, not near achievements, then in fact we're sitting at only 60% of the targets that have been set achieved. And it ends up being a poor reflection on the department. But then the department should also sit here and tell us what is an attainable, smart, achievable target so that we don't end up with these percentages. Then, Chair, if I could have some indication, we're led to believe that there's a huge problem with technical posts within the department, and these should be vacant. Can it be indicated where those vacancies exist and where that other expenditure exists? My next question, Chair, we were told that there's 108 million rand that's been agreed for a rollover of the 351 million. My question is, what happens to the balance of that, the difference between the 351 and the 108 million? Do we then lose that money? And then, Chair, there's another question, under regional management and support, we were told that the water services project, there was an expenditure of I think it was 86 million, I don't have the figure in front of me. But we were given a reason that there's a delay in invoices of 6 weeks, which is, I got a bit lost there. From what I understood, we've got a contractor doing work and there's a 6-week delay in the department being invoiced. I can't understand how that would reflect in under expenditure, because surely it would still be captured and would form part of creditors, so if I could have a bit of clarity there. Then my final question, Chair, we're told that the rapid response units are out in 9 regions. I don't expect the answer today. Could I ask the department to supply this committee with a report of what the rapid response units have done, where they've been called out, what's been done, and what the achievements are? Because in my province, they're useless. They've done nothing. We've had issues, and I've dealt with your DG on this, and they have not been in any form or way helpful to challenges that we've experienced in KZN. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Zivella.
Chairperson, first of all, I would like to apologize for my joining the committee. Water is life. By the way, water. I've been listening to the AG as she was uh, committee and the department. There was a time when I was a bit touched when I heard about the disciplinary. Is it a disciplinary committee or whatever name you gave it? It's quite personal. I would love to know, how was that disciplinary committee formed? Why? What was the reason? What was happening, actually? That one, it's just for my own consumption. Because I know when it comes to water, you know, things are not just going very well. Because each time I sit in this, whatever room, it's water. By the way, it's water and environmental affairs. I've even forgotten that there is an environmental affairs this year, because issues are just about water. I also wanted to know about the rollover, but my colleague has just dealt with that one. I was a bit worried. I wanted to know actually what happened to that rollover thereafter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's, this water department had the problem with the finance. From the AG, this outcome report, a target not achieved for this department, 12 and 13, the 38%. So, I don't know if this department how can improve in the whole the financial issue in the future. For the, from the DGG, this representation inside, some issue I saw like the inform. In summary, for the, this irregular expenditure for the 31st of March 2013, you highlight this 869 million related for regional public infrastructure grant for 2010 and 2011, but it didn't show us in 2011-12. So you show to the committee the 869 million for this regional public infrastructure. Then the, for the next release, this timetable show the 1077. I'd like to know this 1077 is 2012-13, then what's about for last year, 2011-12? Because you show us it's 2010-11. And Chair, I think it's regarding the response to the audit funding, it's, this issue is a big issue inside. I think it's didn't respond, it's quite clear. The inside says 326.4 million is a financial statement. Is a missed statement. But you say I was unable to confirm the restatement by the this amount. So for inside this one, you are not 22, not 23. All this issue, this funding is a missed statement. And how? Because your annual report, today I can't find the where is the annual report for the water affair. So I can't see the inside of note 22, 23, what inside for your note is a detail. Chair, I think it's, from this presentation inside also the overview of Department of Financial Performance. You show us this performance is 2012-13. What is last year? I won't compare for the last year. What's the last year 2011 travel? What's your performance? Because I want to know, this department is have the good or the poor performance for past the last financial year and this financial year. Regarding the, I want to check your bonus. I want to check your bonus, what you spend for the all your bonus in this financial year. Chairperson, I think it's like this presentation is so not too quite clear, show to the us. Sometimes it show us in 2011, 12, 2012, 13, I can compare. Some of these this picture, we didn't see this one. Like this one is a financial performance for stock program. You say integrate the plan. It's 163.6 million for utilizing the 2012-13. But 2011-12, it's a 440 million, but you only spend for 178 million. Yeah, this reason is why is that it's got a quarter budget that you underspend. Then, so I hope this the water affair, this department for the your financial issue must be improving. Otherwise, your target is only 38% not achieved in the 2012-13. This is quite a big concern from my side. Thank you.
Thanks very much, honorable members. Did anyone want to make an input or ask a question? Mam Dromo and honorable...
Yes, thank you very much. I have seen in your challenges that you have got this lack of specialists and lack of technical skills in the department. What is it that you are doing? Because there was nothing for instance to say you are giving scholarships to, you know, people that can help this department, and I haven't really seen that. And yet it is put down as one of the reasons why some of the projects have not been really... there is nothing that has been mentioned about what they are doing in order to improve the specialists and the skills development project. And also the people with disabilities and lack of the parity between, you know, the, you know, females in the department. What is it that they are really doing? Because there are lots of people that are disabled out there. How do you reach them? Thank you.
Another thing.
Thank you, Chair. firstly, I would like to concur with the AG report in agreeing to the Lord's achievements in the department, and have hope of a clean audit next year. However, I'm very much concerned on the irregular expenditure of CAT, and I would also like the department to give us a breakdown on what leads to this irregular expenditure and the reasons thereof. And on the number of vacant posts and what makes the post unfilled, because now the department is saying that it's unable to reach a 2% target on the employment of disabled persons. It's made the department give us the reason why this is not achievable, and what programs do they have in the on the employment of disabled persons. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much. Is there anything else from honourable members before I give an administration to respond? None. Okay, I give it to the department to respond, and I should think you are a collective. You need to assist one another. This is a collective report. It's not one person's report. It's a report of the collective. Everybody must get ready to assist. Thanks. Who's that reporting? In fact, responding? Okay. Can you continue?
Okay, I'll respond, and then I'll indicate the other managers that to respond. Ms. Eleni Ndabeni will respond on the issue of vacancies and the attraction of the specialists and the disability. Honorable Rogers indicated that the other view might not be the answer today, but Ms. Mbasa will respond on the issue of the RRU. Then Ms. Manyakanyaka will respond on the issue of the
the targets and the crafting and the way forward that we have done to improve the situation. And I will talk to the irregulars and the rollovers and the difference. The question was asked, what happens with the difference between the 351 and the 188? The difference of that, we then surrender it to National Treasury. But some of those, as I've indicated, are made out of the accruals, and I then would have to pay them in the next financial year. But the difference between the amount that has been underspent and what we have not requested for a rollover, it's then surrendered to National Revenue Fund. The question around what causes irregulars and the issue of the steps that we are taking, I think we have alluded into it. But with our analysis, checking what really causes the irregulars was mainly non-compliance to SCM issues in cases where procurement will be done without proper delegation, cases where payments would be made outside the lease agreement after the contract has expired. So it's mainly on non-compliance issues and the three quotations that were not sourced from the supplier. That was mainly the causes of the irregular. The director, supply chain, had on the issues where I have left. Then there was a question asked, why did we, how was the Financial Misconduct Advisory Committee formed? This was a part of strengthening the control and to ensure that steps are taken against all the misconduct that has been incurred by the officials. But Mr. Mofokeng would also edge on that area in terms of the misconduct. So in terms of order, I'll give Mr. Mofokeng to add on the issue of the misconduct, Mr. Lenny to respond on the issue of vacancies, Mr. Mbasa to respond on the issue of the RRU, and then Ms. Manyakanyaka to respond on the issue of the targets and the performance. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. On the Financial Misconduct Advisory Committee, the committee was set up to bring in discipline in the workplace, to ensure that if somebody has transgressed on an irregular expenditure, whether fruitless, whether any financial misconduct, because if you look at the PFMA, it talks about steps that the accounting officer will take when there is a non-compliance, even to the PFMA. Now, the committee terms of reference were circulated to all the top management, and top management agreed that we need such a body. Labor relations is part of us. The main purpose of the Financial Advisory Committee is to ensure that, firstly, you know exactly who is the transgressor. So there should not be among us saying this person or that person. Secondly, is to make sure that if the transgressor has transgressed, what was the circumstances which made the transgressor to transgress? So you look at that thing, you know, and make sure that you assess the extent and the way in which the person acted. Because irrespective, it might be negligent, it might be willfully, it might be, you know, you look at those other issues. Then what does the financial misconduct then decide? Whether do we need to follow a normal, formal disciplinary, or do we do an informal disciplinary? Now, what is the difference between the two? The formal disciplinary is when we say there is a huge transgression, the department did not benefit whatever, and we believe that this is tantamount to fraud, corruption, and others, that may get taken to the formal discipline where the person now gets formally charged. Or the matter looks to be an informal. Now, if I say informal, where now you say, this person has transgressed, state has benefited, but there was a misunderstanding, whatever, let's give him a first warning to make sure that this person cannot, because at the same time people should be, so that the proper rehabilitation is done. So the financial misconduct, since its establishment, we are seeing the fruits of it, because it now starts to become a deterrent. How does it become a deterrent? Before a person go and spend regularly, you therefore have to come and ask questions, or come and ask clarity from the people who know what the practice is. So if it makes an employee to say, before I act, am I acting correctly? If I can't act correctly, who should give me advice? They will come willingly to supply chain to request advice, which is totally different from the past, because people knew they would do it and it takes time to discipline. We give people a representation, that people must come and present through their documents to say what happened, what led to them to progress. I can say to the members that it actually, we're hoping, and we're also learning from even our sister department, or entity, which is doing quite well with regard to this irregular expenditure. Our aim and our belief is just to eliminate it, but we're saying don't be eliminated, you know, immediately, but within 2 years, we should not be talking more about irregular expenditure. Thank you.
Next.
Listen, David.
Well, I think good morning, everyone. In terms of the vacancies, yes, the department has got a lot of vacancies within the core business of the department, of which most of the posts are OSD. And we struggle as a department in appointing within those categories. So we do try to headhunt, we do try to get agencies to assist us. But in some instances, we find that the people are just not there. If they are there, interested, they have applied, we cannot match the salaries. You find that the private sector is paying more than what we are giving them. And the OSD requirements, you cannot divert from it. It is a document that even the minister cannot change it. So we are struggling when it comes to that. But what we are doing as a department, we are having our learning academy. We've got these young graduates that we are grooming towards those technical posts, but it's taking time. It's not something that can be done today and say yes by tomorrow. We have sorted it, but it's a work in progress. We are doing something on that, and also when we award our bursaries, we award them according to the things where we know that there is a lack in this skills. That's how we do it. When it comes to the appointment of women, yes, of course, for the year under review, we did not have a proper plan to say which post are we targeting for women, which post are we targeting for people with disabilities. As you know, that yes, of course, it's legislated, but at the same time, the department did not have an employment discipline that is approved. It did not have a policy. So for now, those documents have been approved. The department will be able to move forward. We do have committees from the regions as well, and a national committee that is looking at the issues of employment equity in general. And we also working together with the Department of Labor to assist us and other NGOs as well. And we are making progress. I don't know if I think I have covered all the questions. Oh yes, the vacancies that were vacant for more than 12 months. Usually what we do, for the year under review, a lot of posts have been abolished because we say posts that have been vacant for more than 6 months, we abolish them, but in some instances we find that the posts will be advertised, and because they are always the posts, you advertise the post, you can't abolish it because you advertise it, you sit down and shortlist, and then you don't get the people, you go through the headhunting process, that takes time as well, and by that time when you check, now it has been more than 8 months, 12 months that the post has been vacant. Mostly it's the OSD post that we are struggling to fill. The technical post that the Honourable Member was asking about.
Thank you.
Just before Ms. Mbatha came in, I forgot, Honorable Rogers asked about six programs and we reported on five programs and left out program three. Program three will be dealt in special with the NWRI, the infant entity. Thanks. Ms. Mbatha.
Thank you, Acting DG, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Let me start by maybe giving you a little bit of background on the RRU, which is the Refugee Reforms Unit. When it was conceived in the department, it was meant to be a support mechanism for municipalities, but it was particularly meant to deal with service delivery interruptions at municipal level. So in cases where there is a sudden disruption of service or there's a breakdown in infrastructure leading to sewage villages, whatever the problem might be, the department had a team of specialists that have expertise in various areas in water management, your civil engineers, your water quality management specialists, all the team, the core team that would help the municipality solve the problem. Initially, when we had the unit, we had the model was centralized. So we had this team at head office, and whenever there was a problem, a community member calling or someone calling the minister to say there's a problem in an area, we would dispatch those specialists, but somewhere in the provinces. We felt that maybe we have to review this model and come up with a decentralized approach where we would have specialists in each area. That is why the Honorable Member is talking about the performance of the RRU. In that process, we wanted to utilize the water boards because they would already be involved in the programs, in water programs implementation in the region, and they had the necessary expertise. There were some changes. The centralized model also, once it had an impact, we would provide reports because we did an assessment of that. When we decentralized, we did experience some problems. Some provinces were doing well because their water board had capacity, but of course, we know that the capacity of water board varied from one province to another. In other provinces, the water board didn't necessarily have the right capacity. And in some cases, you would find conflict, or rather potential conflict of interest, where you would have a water board that is already supposed to be doing some work, helping the municipality with maybe operation and maintenance, and there's a breakdown in that area, and the same water board is expected to go and solve the problem when there's an RRU and get paid for it. But in a nutshell, Chairperson, the model currently can work, but the greatest problem and the reason why there are problems and the RRU is no longer effective is lack of funding. Lack of funding is the biggest problem. In the last financial year, we had each region had about plus or minus 1.5 million. That's hardly enough if you look at the total number of hotspots in the province, in various provinces. It's enough. But let me say and maybe try to address Honorable Roger's concern specifically. And my limited understanding of the challenge in Cape Town. The RRU is meant to go in, diagnose what the problem is, come up with a solution on how the problem has to be solved. In many cases, and I think the case in Ugu, in many cases you find that the fundamental challenges, the infrastructure itself, maybe the treatment works require total upgrading, requiring a lot of money, huge investment that's required. In that case, there are limitations to what the RRU can do because obviously we wanted to look at sources for funding for other refurbishment, building of new infrastructure from other sources, like your RBIC and the municipal infrastructure grant. But Chairperson, as requested, we will provide reports. Let me also volunteer that we will provide reports of what has been achieved to date, what has been the impact, and what are the challenges that are faced by the current RRU. Thank you. We will still follow up on the UBU challenge, if this one that you're referring to. Thank you.
Who's next, I think, DJ?
Next will be Babala to take us through the targets.
In response to
performance information. During the under review, we really did not have smart indicators, as the Auditor General had indicated. We also did not have what we call a technical indicator description to calculate how you would, you know, get to a certain result. But subsequent to that, we had here to the 13-14 financial year, the year that we currently have conducted what we call a smart analysis in support of the Auditor General. We have also slightly improved, and we have included the technical indicator description to define how we get to a certain desired result. And also, we are currently implementing a monitoring and evaluation system that will actually calculate the indicators and, most importantly, align our performance information with the financial aspect that is. And we're also trying to incorporate the human resources relations that support the implementation of the set targets. The project is currently under implementation, and we should be starting to use it during the third quarter of this financial year. So we are anticipating that we will be able to slightly improve from the current 38% that is declared by the Auditor General to a much more higher figure of alignment and achievement of our target.
Is there anything left that can be done?
Chair, I think we have captured all the questions.
Is there any follow-up question? Honourable
Chair, not a further follow-up, but my question is not also responded.
Sorry, Dr. Huang.
I said, Chairperson, my question is still not responded.
Your questions are not responded to. Okay? Can you respond to those questions? Please, respond to those questions.
Is it the question of the bonus?
My question, not only one, my question is over the tree. You didn't put my question in your memory.
Sorry, can I intervene? Did you capture those questions? Who has captured those questions? Can you answer?
Please, as to have captured the question.
But can I take this opportunity and give it to Dr. Huang to repeat those questions, if possible, so that you can respond on something that you understand? Dr. Huang, could you please
thank you,
repeat your question?
My question is, I think you want to be repeated again, is my question is over the four. Yeah. Number one is your performance, financial performance. You didn't show to the us is the last year your financial performance. You only show to the sub-program performance. So I'd like to know. Also for this AG report, your target is not achieved. 2013 is 38%. So how do your department can achieve? Because your poor performance, or you want to say you are good performance, we can't from this report, we can see your performance is for this department, particularly the water department, the poor or the good performance. And also for recommended by the your note 22 and the note 23, you are missed the statement for the 326 meaning. How you can adjust for, because from the auditor funding this response, this one, I don't think so this committee fully understand how you can improve him for this one, because you have missed it. Like the SDG, you say, I'm interested for what your bonus system, you will be performance for your bonus for your department in this financial year. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you through, Dr. Huang? Thanks very much. Can I give it to the department to respond? Not only the DG for finance. anyone who's capable to respond to these questions, respond to those questions. At least they can teach. Who's that? Is there anyone ready?
Can I request that Tim Wolf has had the Honorable knows that I always struggle to hear. I normally go to him and then I get the question correctly. I'm going to ask Mr. Mwate to respond on the issue of the financial performance comparison versus the staff program and the targets of only 38%. I'll ask Babalo to respond to that. And then note 23 in terms of the adjustment of misstatements, that Mr. Mwate will respond to that as well. And the bonus, how much was spent on performance bonus? Okay, I'll respond to that on page 231 of our annual report. It indicates the bonuses that the bonus that we have paid for the year 12-13 is 14 million. That is for all officials in the department. The performance bonus.
Anyone want to respond?
Then I'll ask Mr. Mwate to respond on the note on the adjustment of misstatement and the financial performance. Babalo will respond on the 38% target.
Department, are you still preparing yourself to respond to these questions or not? Or can I close this?
I think Chairperson, I think if you allow, can we hear from the Honourable, because I think we really have had a problem on capturing what she actually wanted to.
Okay, thanks very much. Can I just ask the House to adjourn for 5 minutes and have a tea break, then we'll come in for the next session and completing the remaining questions. Can we do so? Okay, thanks.
last time I spoke to her, it wasn't after she left us. And you?
I spoke to her after she left us. But then I lost contact with my wife.
Yeah, I wonder what she's doing.
Let everybody get in, please, so that we can start and finish up on time. Umana bagangin ng zuhan bagangin ng nitolalala. Can I take this opportunity and welcome you again? I give this opportunity to the department to respond to Dr. Huang's question, and thereafter I will get to the next item. Because
I just have my follow-up questions that I'll take because Dr. Huang didn't have to answer.
Respond, please. DJ.
Thank you, Chair. Dr. Huang was requesting the comparison in terms of the overall as a department, because in our presentation we have a sub-program. I would, before we leave here, give you that analysis. We do have, but it is missed in terms of the presentation. And the second question that he wanted to know is the misstatement of the 326 million on the accruals. What happened here, Dr. Member? When we disclosed the accrual in the initial stage, when we disclosed an amount of 208. And when auditors went down to do the audit, they found that there are a number of accrual figures that we have not disclosed. We then updated our figure based on the system that we used in terms of going back and check all the payments that were not paid, that was due to be paid in that financial year. And the amount of 326 were found to be been misstated. So that is the one that Honorable Wang was relating to. And the third question was related to the presentation that was done by AG, where it indicates the department is sitting at 38%. And the question is, what is the department going to do to improve the performance from the 38% going forward? And the response to that members would be, as a department and as the reconfiguration that we have done to improve our service delivery, we have strengthened our control, we are continuing to strengthen the control. And the major of the cause and as the root cause, and it has also been indicated in this room, is the oversight role that we need to strengthen at a regional level. That move has already happened. We first tightened the reporting lines of finance and support staff of the region directly to the competencies at the head office. But that has also expanded to all responsible managers where regions will be reporting directly to the managers of the specific areas. So in that we are strengthening the oversight and the controls that we put on the regional level. And also the filling of all the vacant posts, especially at the higher level, we are putting speed in terms of ensuring that and improve financial management, which is part of key areas for all senior management in the department to fully take accountability on the financial management and ensure that we adhere to the financial management. Thank you, Chair. And in terms of the comparison, why we will prepare the presentation for you, Honorable, in our annual report on page 90 and 91, it does give a clear comparison in terms of the spending of the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Roger.
Thanks, Chair. Just some clarity. I don't think my one question was answered. Under your program form, your regional implementation and support, your budget is 5.2 and your expenditure is 4.9. But when you go to the breakdown, to your sub-program, your figures don't tie up there. There's a difference. In other words, if I go to that sub-program and have a look, I'll tell you now. Your sub-program under regional management and support, your figure is 4.9 and actual of 4.7. So your under expenditure is 205 million versus your program report of 313 million. Can I just be given an explanation to why is that discrepancy? Then, Chair, just to follow up my question on the technical posts, what I actually wanted to know was where is the saving of these technical vacancies and what is the value of those savings? Thanks, Chair.
Can you quickly respond to those questions, please?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the discrepancies, I really want to apologize to the and indicate to the member that the actual figure that is correct is what is in the annual report, which is 5.249
3.23 as the final budget and the spending of 4.9. So that is the correct figure. What is in the presentation is an error on program 4. In terms of the technical post, and I request Ms. Delino to respond to it.
Sorry, technical issue. What was the question on technical post? I don't have that information now. I only have the number of those posts, not the value.
Yeah, but if you don't have that report with you, please, you must submit in writing. By next week, we want to know about that.
We'll do that.
Yes. Okay. I should think all questions are responded to. Yeah, but acting DJ, as you are leading the team, I just want to echo a concern from this committee, so that when you move forward about your development or your operation, you always remember these things. One is understanding. It's a very serious concern. And we always talking about this, understanding. It's a problem because it's delaying a progress in the service development. And this led to the rollovers. Secondly, the irregularities. You see, these two issues, go and address these two issues. Fortunately, you are not going to hide with positions that you are acting on and so on. You are permanently appointed now. And I'm congratulating you in your appointment, in the new challenges that you are going to face, but you are not new in this field. You must continue work together as a collective so that you overcome all the challenges that you are talking about now. Can we move to the next item of our agenda? We continue with part two, that is water trading entities. But I want the presenter to be fast. I don't want us to come back here tomorrow dealing with this matter. So we must finish up by 4 o'clock or past 4, we must finish up these reports. Who is reporting now?
It's me.
What are you saying?
Yes, Ms. Landile Mike.
Okay, Landile, over to you.
And our CFO, Mr. Mpomfu King. Chair, in a nutshell, just the overview of WTE non-financial performance such that 61% was achieved, 25% was partially achieved, and 14% was not achieved. The next slide talks about the financial performance. But if you go further down our presentation, because I would just want to complete the non-financial aspects of the presentation, then Mr. Mpuken will then take over the financial aspects of the presentation. If you then go to slide number 55, number 56, which then gives a detail of the pie chart, you will realize that those that are achieved, we got the Duba and the Manta pipeline, was successfully commissioned in February 2013. Several projects on rehabilitation of conveyor systems were also completed. Challenges that we experienced as an MCT during the financial year were around the work gap industrial action that took approximately 7 weeks. And we have experienced a delay of 7 weeks in the construction of the work dam, and that is like page 57. That chair, it was not easy to deal with, overnight, because it then involved the review of conditions of service of construction workers that had not been reviewed for more than 10 years. And now you will then understand, Chairperson, that the review of conditions of service it's a task that involves consultation with different stakeholders, especially labor. We are at a stage where we're fairly comfortable that all the issues that were raised by workers with a warp, in the other sides, we will not be able to experience them because we are now at a final draft where we are going for the last consultation with organized labor on the review of conditions of service.
And it does, parties do seem to be converging on the very aspect that you raised earlier on. Another challenge that we also experienced was the delay on the pipeline, which is the bulk distribution system that is taking water from the Jowok Dam now to the community. At the moment, you remember, Chair, that I presented that that bulk distribution system, the dam is 2A, then you've got phase 2BC right up to H. There was an I beginning of the project. The I was later withdrawn because Eskom did not need that leg of the pipeline. But the other phases of the bulk distribution, Chair, we are at the stage where we are implementing 2C now. We are going to experience delays with the other phases from 2B to D, E, F, G, H due to the problem that we are having with the mining houses who have since repudiated from the signature, from the approvals that they gave to us in 2008. They have cited quite a number of reasons why they are pulling out. We are at the stage where we have even gone as far as getting a mediator. There is a challenge that I must highlight, that we are going to see some slight delays again next financial year, but the team led by the DG and the minister are working very hard to exhaust those issues where we do not agree with the mining houses. It is primarily in terms of the design on how the bulk distribution pipeline should flow. We have also roped international treasure. So what we then did was that where the phases that were not disputed, which is phase 2, C and D, we are running with those. That those have already started, and we have challenges in as far as the servitudes, communities, the community around Veche is quite vocal in most instances about their rights and all the other aspects. Yesterday I was locked out out of the office again with them. They always have challenges when you try to implement projects. You know, it's more on the consultation side and stakeholder management that I think as a department we are trying by all means to strengthen that capacity now. So that really gave us problems in terms of now getting the pipeline to go through that, which is the phase 2C. And the resettlement challenges. The reason I had a meeting with them when the committee came yesterday, it was still around the resettlement of the communities that are affected by the laying of the pipeline. But we are working on that, Chair, because you will know that it is issues that involve community and stakeholder management. It becomes sometimes very difficult to just resolve it overnight, but we are working on it day and night. Then there is the challenge that we also experience with the dam safe rehabilitation program. There were delays on the dam safe, which is the DSRP, still on slide number 57. Chair, the reason for the delay there was primarily because we did not have a contract of contractors that are experienced in dealing with dam safety. It's quite a bit so slightly sophisticated in the sense that you would want contractors that are experienced. So the procurement process took a bit longer, but at the moment we are trying to recover the time that the term contract has been put in place. We've got now a panel of about 45 civil engineering companies that are on board, and we should be able to make up on that time lost on the DLRP project in the near future. Chair, the other two dams that were announced by the President, which is the Hazelmere and the Glen William, the design that when we came at the beginning of the financial year and presented this last financial year and presented the project on, that design was since changed because it was challenged, Chairperson, by some of the engineers, and as a result a review panel was established, which then came out with another design. That then led to another delay in the process. We started with a piano mechanical crest gate and a design, and it was eventually changed to a specialized concrete spillway, which offers a safer means of raising the dam with very low maintenance cost. I think the issue was more of the O&M part of the first design that we had. So just by changing the design, you will then understand here that that also had an impact on the progress on site. The Glen William Dam, Chair, I must say that we are already at a very late, when we finished the financial year, the design was almost 80% complete. We had already received the record of implementation decision from the plan unit. We are at the stage where we have also started with the preliminary work at the moment, but that was started last financial year, which is the year we are reporting on. Preliminary work that today is around the diversion of N7 or N17, which is being done by Sunrise. I'm reporting this, Chair, despite the fact it's not here, because some members may have seen and may be affected by that division, not knowing what is happening. It is still part of the 10 million dam construction project. But the dam construction project is going to start before beginning of this financial year. But in terms of the budget allocation, approximately 200 million of my budget for Glen William was spent on the diversion of N17, just the establishment of the site and the design and so forth. Thank you very much, Chair. I will then allow my colleague Mpho to take us on the financial performance.
Thank you, Chair. From the finance, basically, if you compare, I don't know who's moving.
Sorry, before you continue. DG, where is Nandoni Dam and Josin Dam here? Because Mama is waiting very impatiently to hear the progress on those two dams.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Mama, you can.
I want to say, Chairperson, on page 57, almost all is, it's all about dams. Going back to the year 2010-2011, there was a time when I was given a nickname. I was given a nickname, Josini Dam Mamzigala. And I hear nothing. I've been listening all the time. But it is unfortunate because I had to report to the Umhanyagude people about what was came out from the department. But nothing is happening. I can't say nothing, but as far as I'm concerned, until such times when Mr. Bonjana felt that I was not effective, he decided to take over as a resident from
Umhanyagude. Hold your horses, you'll come back during the question time. Hold your horses, please. Can I give it to Didi to respond?
Thanks, Chair. We remember that the two dams were commissioned a while ago, Pongola, which is the chosen dam, being one of being the oldest between the two. Nandoni, I think, was also commissioned around 2003-04. What is remaining is the bulk distribution system. The bulk distribution system of Pomola Dam is being handled under RBIC. I will not be able to comment on that, and I will give that question to Mr. who is responsible for RBIC. But the bulk distribution of Mandoni, it's one of the partial achieved objectives, reason being that it was solely because of non-performance of contractors. At the time when we finished the financial year, Nandoni was sitting at 80% of the project. And it's one of the rollovers. When we heard Ms. Hundabobi talking about the rollovers, we have requested a rollovers because the contractors are on site. However, two of the JPs that were on site could not perform very well. The CFO will explain, we've just approved another contractor, an acceleration plan where they have brought in another contractor to assist them. The projected completion of Nandoni was June was June, July 2013, but it is now moving to December 2018. We have already signed off that group that is assisting us, which is an accelerated delivery plan. I would not be able to comment, as I said, on Pongola. I will give it to Ms. Mbasa to respond on the RP.
Unfortunately, I'm also not in a position to report on this. I'm no longer responsible for this program, because what the honourable member is looking for is current information, and I'm no longer part of this branch.
Can I ask you to go and prepare a report and give it to us by next week, so that we can know exactly what is happening in that regard? Is it fine, honourable members? Okay. Who has the report then? Yes, continue.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be quick on this on the finances, but I'll spend more time on the action plan. Chair, from the report comparing ourselves to the year 2012, there has been an improvement with regards to revenue, billing. If you look at it, there's an improvement of 11%. What we built better than the other year, and the simple reason was that there had been some time increase, but other than that, we've tried to clean up our billing processes. With regards to expenditure, we've also improved by 80% overall, even though we have reduced our surplus from 2.1 billion to 536 million due to the effect of the provision on debtors, which you could see the impairment on financial assets has increased, the operating expenditure has increased, as well as the depreciation. And depreciation is mainly because of the useful life of our assets. So this explains, roughly to say, the increase in 15% for revenue was as a result of annual tariff adjustments, improvement on efficiency and accuracy of billing, and increase on construction revenue. Our decrease on revenue was only mainly due to National Treasury requesting some money back, which is 117 million. With regards to the expenditure on this side, I've already explained that the provision of bad debts, that's the one. And I must emphasize, members, that provision does not mean we are going to realize the bad debt. That's why I'm saying, in terms of explaining that later on, I'll cover that, to assure members that we're doing everything possible to recover what is being owed to us. Increase in interest paid with the facility we have with TCA, and the review of the useful life of our assets. I don't want to spend time on this one unless members later on they would like to ask questions. With regards to refurbishment, we are happy to say we have improved slightly, but that improvement we are also not happy about. It's better, but not that good that we want. And this year we'll put systems in place to ensure that we do refurbishment and betterment of our projects. But when you compare to the previous year, we better, even though their budget is actually increased. Those are the reasons that are there for that, with some of them they've been covered. Let me go to the cash collection. If you look at what we have built last year, we have built our customers about 6.6 billion, and of that, we've collected 6.7 billion. That shows an improvement, because we had a huge debt that we are sitting with, but this now starts to show you that even though we have a huge debt that we're sitting in, where if you compare the current billing to what we are collecting, there is an improvement. But that improvement is only about 100 million. But still, there's a lot of challenges that we are faced with, which we're trying to deal with in terms of debt collection. Last time when we were here, we did report that we have appointed a company on the debt collection to assist us, and now today we'll be giving you a progress report with regard to what have they done thus far. And that's where I'm going to be moving to. When we look at the audit outcome, we are happy. We're not happy, but we are better position than the other years. If you look at 2010, we had a disclaimer. 2011-12, we had a qualification with about 4 meters. That was very new property plant disclosure as well as irregular. When you look at this year, our only qualification is on revenue management. That's tank number 61, that's where I am now. Oh, that's 61, sorry, they say you don't have that slide, but we can make it available to you. We just wanted to make sure that we move. If you look at our qualification on revenue, the biggest problems that the AG has picked up is that we don't have adequate system and control with regards to the application and checking the application form of licenses. That's one of the problems. And now that problem affects us because sometimes we do backdate because of the time it takes to approve an application of license. By the time when we approve the license, we do a backdating. And that, in terms of our standards, is not correct because we should be making sure that we know when and how is our customers have they applied. The same thing that we are sitting with is the issue of the long outstanding debtors, and hence we having these long provisions that we are doing, and the AD is not happy about that because when he does the investigation with the debtors to compare the balances and to agree with the balances, debtors normally don't agree to our figures that we disclose to the AG. And that has been the problem that the AG has raised. The other problem that the AG has raised is that the measurement that we have of our customers is that we don't normally give them the proper for those customers who are supposed to be measured in terms of whether they are being metered or metering. We are not having that done. So all those problems, the disclosure becomes a problem in terms of revenue. Now, what are we doing? Now, we have looked at this, we have sat down, we have been engaged with ourselves internally, we have engaged with AG, and we look at the problem of license registration. We say, how do we resolve that problem? Firstly, we say there will be a short-term intervention that needs to be done, but there's more of a long-term solution that's required. The short-term solution is to ensure that we start utilizing the system that we currently have, a little bit modified, because we are using a ruler system for registration of license. So we want that to make it to be able to pre-number and make sure that when a person applies, we can know we have that particular person's number and know where the application and any stage where it is, so that we can show AG when it comes to us and say, yes, indeed, we have so many applicants that have come through and their applications are still at this particular stage of the process. That's the short term. There's a lot of debates which we still have to deal with in terms of that particular process. However, the long term, we need an automated system, processes that are integrated so that we don't end up, from a finance point of view, I should not end up with the issue that I cannot give the correct information to AG because of my business processes are not properly documented and aligned. With that, there is a position paper we have developed to look at the issues of WOMS and SEP, but not necessarily only looking at the issues of WOMS and SEP, actually looking at what are the business processes that we are having, what causes our business processes to actually lead to a situation where we cannot track all our applications. A research of the gap analysis is already done. Internally, we're still going to debate and come up with a proper final solution to address this matter once and for all. And I think in the next two months, that matter will have been exhausted and a position will have been taken fully to say, how do we make sure that any person who applies to us, whether internal or externally, they will know the status of the application, they will know the reference number that they use so that they can do away with the Excel spreadsheet that we currently use. Now, when it comes to water users with incomplete warm status not billed, These are all the users. There are two types of users. We've got the license and existing local water users. Now, when a person applies for the license, there are people already applying, and as they apply for the license, they start abstracting water. And you know, sometimes the license can take 3 months, 6 months, can take a year. Now, at the time when the application gets approved, to go back and, you know, and update the file and start updating, it's not allowed in terms of accrual accounting. And that's what the AG is hitting us at. Now, what are we saying? We're saying on that specific course, we need to make sure that any license that is being applied, new license that gets applied, if a person abstracts water, that person must be treated as an illegal water use and not be billed as if we are doing a cost recovery for them. That will involve yourselves, it will involve everybody, because we think we need to get a government address. That will explain this to everybody, that when you apply, during your application of a license, you should not be accessing water. You should not be using it, because then what is the reason for you to apply and start utilizing water? Because the reason why you apply is because when you determine whether you have sufficient water to be able to be allocated for a specific purpose. So that is what is the biggest gap now. And I'm saying to members here that if we don't get the things right, we might sit with a qualification this year and even the years to come. But if we've sorted out this one, we should be able to be home and run. With regards to existing local water users, I want to take the members back that in 2001, as you know, that the new dispensation, when it came in, we did not have a register of water users in South Africa from the previous dispensation. So in 1994, people had permits to utilize water. Some of them did not have permits, and they claimed the existing local water use. So there was a process in 1998 which was started to call people to come through to come and register. Some people did not hit the call. 2001, there was a call that was made by the department to say everybody must come and register. Some people did not, you know, respond to the call. And those people come now. And when they come now, they want to claim that they are still local water users. Now, what we are saying, that should stop. We should go out, announce to all South Africans to say, anyone who had a right or an existing local water use in 2001 and didn't come, that right ceases to exist. And definitely we will have to deal with those particular guys. Now, through our validation of PNV, when we do the validation and we pick up those people, we then have to put proper and stringent penalties that will make people now know that they cannot continue illegally without actually coming to us and registering properly. Now, you could hear what I'm talking about has nothing to do with finance. It's actually, from a finance point of view, it's a business issue, it's a regulatory issue that needs to be resolved. And I believe if we resolve that, that will actually kill the issue of, even the next one, kill the issue of prior year revenue being built in the current year. Because we continue to see AGC, but tell us, do you know your people? Why don't you know your people? Why do you know? This process, you should have completed it in 2001. When are you completing your process? And because when we do the DNV, we pick up those people. There are people still today who are abstracting, who don't have those rights. Till today, as to speak here. So those processes, we are going to make sure that we put them in place. Now with regards to the payment, the provision of debtors, when after appointing the service provider we have, the service provider came with information that shows to us that there are people whom we are billing who are dead. There are people whom we are billing who are no more actually on the same properties that we're in, which goes back to the issue of the data of our data we're using is not a correct data. Now we have since now made sure that we told that company to go and visit and go and get to the various properties, institutions to ensure that they get the information so that we can update our information to ensure that at the end of the day we can actually determine the correct addresses of the people, and I think AG will tell you here we've got about 240 million of RTS returned to sender. There we send invoices, but those invoices the customers don't get them, either because they're correcting the addresses. Check the existence of customers, whether the customers do exist, if he exists, where is that customer? Check the verification, which by that source of information, either from Home Affairs, either from this office, so that we can do a, you know, collection and continuous updating of our customer records. Another thing which we need to do, which the AG raised, was the issue of the balances. To obtain agreements, settlement agreements with our customers. And I can say we've got a huge number. The last time when we were here, Jefferson was saying, why will Waterboard still be owing you? While actually the family and all that, I want to go out here and ensure that we sort out that problem. I'm happy to say we've gone out, we've sorted out that problem. All the water boards were now agreed with them. Yes, there are still some two disputes in the one dispute in Amatole, and the other one is with Mutsilo. But Mutsilo, we know for a fact, it's not actually a dispute. We know for a fact that they cannot even afford to pay us, but now they've agreed that they owe us. So various meetings have been held. We've got a list of customers, the assisted customers as we speak today, who are 100% current. They are no more having a huge debt, and that I will see it when I do the information. Irregular expenditure, I'm not going to touch on it. We've already spent time on it. On debtors, let me go to the real issues. If you look at the billing, as I said, we have improved in terms of the billing, the targets that we have built from the previous year. But what I think is important for me is to explain this. In March 2013, our age analysis was, that line number 74, our age analysis was 5.9. Of the age analysis, the biggest people were owing us was private companies, owing us about 1.4 billion. The other next category was the municipalities, about 1.2 billion, and the water boards were owing us about 1.5 billion. When you go to the 151 days, the whole amount was about 4.3 billion, and of that, companies were owing us about 967, and if you look at the municipalities, were about 1.1, and if you look at the issue of water boards, they were sitting at about 816. I'm picking up the bigger ones. What I want to show and highlight to the members that this was the data as March. And that is when we come to December, we said, how can you have such a huge amount of debt still outstanding from your debtors? Now, let's look at where we are now. Where we are now, in our gut, we're at about 5.9. Yes, it might seem as if the same number doesn't change. But look at the 151 days. We see with 3.9. There is a reduction in that area. There's also a reduction in the area of 121 days. There's a reduction in the area of 55 days. Now, to summarize this, this slide gives you the summary of the impact of what our company that we have appointed have assisted us to do to ensure that we deal with them with the long outstanding account. Now, this age analysis comparison of March and August tells you that in terms of our payers, they are now, we are actually in a way owing them because they've paid everything. They're now in good. Companies who have recovered, you know, 168, so it means there is a lot of money that has been recovered because it's in minuses. You look at individuals, it's doing well. Where we're not doing well is municipalities. Municipalities seems to still growing in terms of what they are owing us. Water boards is growing, but not that high. If you look at water boards, it's sitting at 79. It's growing, but the issue why it's growing, because Mutsilo cannot pay us. Of all the water boards that we have, Mutsilo cannot pay us. And we know for a fact that there's a process in the department that to make sure that something gets done in terms of wrapping up Mutsilo and getting Mutsilo to be part of one of the water boards. They cannot pay us, but they agree in terms of what they're supposed to pay us. I'm happy that irrigation boards are now paying. I'm happy that water use associations are now paying. And in the past, they were not paying. All right? And if you look at it, we say, if you analyze that, the age analysis has increased by 2% in total, After the balances have decreased by 12% during the period, individual balances have decreased by 4%, water board balances have just increased by 5%, as I've explained that they've increased because of the issue of Othello. Then municipalities is our challenge, and the news for which I'm going to share with you, what are we doing with municipalities. Just to give you a hint, number of letters that have been issued by the service provider, either letter of demands and everything, amounts to about 43,000 letters. Collection to date, if you compare this year and last year, this year we've collected thus far, from April to now, we've collected 2.9 billion. Collection the same time last year, we're at about 2.3. So if you look at it, we've collected about 607 million more. Improved cash collection year to date, as I've already explained there, we have now improved customer response. We are encountered with customer queries from customers who have not been responsive in the past. There are people now who didn't listen to us. Now they are listening to us. Improved query resolution, intervention and best resolution of queries of our five top companies. Now the five top companies, Eskom is now paying us in full. Sasol, they are now paying us in full. They are on current. They are no more having any outstanding accounts. We are currently in a process of issuing out summons of about 102 million. Unfortunately, part of those summons will be going to some of our municipalities. That's the unfortunate part, because definitely we need to be able to go through and get our issues. Chair, I want to stop there, but I must say that there is a lot of improvement. And we still work very hard to ensure that we get our issues. If we sort out revenue, we'll have sorted out the issues the AG is talking about, and all of us will be happy and get them qualified and clean audit. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much for your presentation. I should think the next one would be Togosi Gwaza on the entities, but I will go back to the AG to make the inputs, and thereafter we'll come back to members to ask questions and inputs, and Ms. Gwaza will prepare herself for the input thereafter. AG, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will refer back again to the dashboard report. And let me start off by saying, when we commenced with this year's audit, the outcome was known. We knew, the department knew, that the matter about the revenue management was the one outcome that was not fully addressed. And we realized that it's not going to be a year or a few months to fix it. It's deep-rooted, and it's going to take a very concerted effort and dedication to deal with the revenue management of the department. So the revenue management was known. I can't comment on the progress to date on the recovery. We will subject those to during our interim audit. We will focus on that. Check. Just in terms of the other matters that's included in the report, and again I want to emphasize, Honorable Chair, that we can only talk about the clean audit once all three criteria have been met. Once the financial management is unqualified, there's no non-compliance issues, and there's no findings on performance information. Once we can tick all three of those boxes, then we can start talking about the clean audit. Just to clarify that. Only non-compliance, again a number of non-compliance matters in the audit report, again material adjustments to the financial statements. We also had a non-compliance on the internal audit, where the same internal audit unit is used between the main account and the trading entity, but there was some capacity challenge experienced in the internal audit unit, so the activities of the water trading account was not subjected to internal audit as it should have been in the past. There was also irregular expenditure, which I want to highlight this, that in the trading entity, it does not qualify the amount of 53 million that was disclosed. So we were comfortable that what was disclosed was the amount irregular for this year. So when we did our testing, we didn't continue to pick up, my apologies, pick up irregular expenditure that was not disclosed. So there seems to be a tightening of controls, although the amount is still, it's more than last year. Last year we talked about, just confirm. Last year it was 43 million, this year it's 53 million, so it increased a bit. On human resources, we also had two findings, again the issue around the vacancies, and then overtime, because of the vacancies, overtime in excess of the 30% of the base salary was also reported as a non-compliance matter. While I talk about HR matters, we did note that in the trading entity, a number of consultants are used to support the entity in the financial management section. And last year, we've issued a report on consultants. We tested the controls implemented by the department. And there's still some deficiencies, especially around the monitoring of the deliverable in the end. But the controls overall have been tightened, and I'm comfortable and I'm very pleased to see the uptake of that recommendations by the department. The use of consultants has also reduced from last year. It's reduced by more than 50% from the previous financial year, which is good. Chair, then on the performance information, I don't think you can get a worse report than what is reported in the water trading accounts and audit report this year, specifically on performance information now. When we talk about measurability, we actually in our audit report you will note that when we were very specific in our report to say targets not specific, 100% of the target. Targets not measurable, 100% of the target. Targets not well defined, 100% of the target. So they needed a concerted effort to deal with the performance management of water trading entity. The department can comment on that, but we know that when we did the APP process earlier this year, they appointed a consultant to help them, and the results were much more positive. So we again, hopeful that next year the issues would have been resolved. But we will test that when we get to next year. Let me just check here. I just think a word of caution to the department. If I look at the information that's presented, especially when we're over-recovering, I am concerned that it might be because of deficiencies in the system, because the question that we would always ask ourselves is why would people pay more than what they owe? Unless it's all debt that we're recovering, which can be one of the explanations. In this economic status that we're currently in, for companies to pay more than what is due, is maybe something that the department will have to look into a bit, just to understand exactly what is driving this behavior. But other than that, we've, together with the department, are realistic about the challenges that the entity faces around water. So, starting with water and the accounting challenges, as has been said, it's not only the accounting, there's also a lot of legislative requirements that will eventually assist the accounting processes that we will have to go through. So in terms of timelines, Jay, I'm not too optimistic that they will get unqualified next year, but soon thereafter. If they do it next year, we will celebrate with them, Jay. Thank you.
Yeah, if you don't have hope, then all of us will lose hope. There's a problem. Yeah, AG, as you you're making your input. There's a question that comes from my mind, in fact, to my mind, to say, who is responsible to capacitate the internal auditors in terms of skills, not of operation and arrangement and finances? You see, another problem that we encountered in this department, it's the financial skills, how to audit these documents, putting numbers together and so on. That particular portion of skills development, who's responsible in doing that? Or is the department itself, but the person for that relevant skills is from your office, or they just outsource that, or can I just get a clearing? Is it? Or AJ, you have an answer? Okay.
I will respond. Okay. It's definitely not from our office. It's internal capacity that needs to be created. And there's different scenarios that can be used. It can be outsourced, can be co-sourced, or the capacity can be created internally. The department does have an internal section, internal audit section in the department, and you ask specifically who's responsible. It's that responsibility rests on the accounting officer. There is an audit committee. The audit committee is there to guide internal audit, but the audit committee cannot appoint an internal auditor. The appointment of internal audit is with the accounting
officer. I do understand that part.
Okay.
And I know it financially, that's the route that you must take. It's just, in fact, concern about the skills per se. Are you outsourcing this skills development issue?
Chair, in terms of the responsibility of insourcing the capacity of the internal audit in the department, it is the responsibility of the department. And I think Alice has indicated that the challenge that the department has had in the past is the fact that the unit of internal audit, with the resources that they had, they were servicing both main account and WGE. And it's still currently the situation as we speak. In terms of our organizational structure, we are almost on the final stage to complete that. That has been addressed. There will be a dedicated team that deals with the WTE and also a dedicated team that deals with the main account.
Thanks very much. Honourable members, questions, inputs? Dr. Huang, Mam Zigalala, Honourable Luwenga, and Honourable Rogers. With that sequence.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I'd like to appreciate for the AG report there. I think this RT is a little better for the keep this slide for a little heavy. For your presentation, I think it's something you are improving here. But the big issue is store the debt correction for cash collection. Because my question is, you the appointment for this debt collection company. I'd like to know this company is, you say it's, since last year the collection is collected for at least more than 600 million right here. So it's improving for the year debt. After, unfortunately, your 150 plus days is sold over the 1.5 billion here. So for the period, sir, I think this committee always is discussing, argue for the debt from the many municipalities, special for municipality. The history is for the not much, but I think it's also too much. It's 469 million. Then from municipality side. So I like you can submit all the list for the committee, which municipalities for the debt over the 150 day. This information I like. Then regarding the consultant is AD report that you are reduced 50%. I think it's my first time I hear for the your people reduce the consultant. Yeah. So this one can reduce many of these lost operating the budget. Because from the you summarized for the statement of financial performance for the end of March. Your turnover total income, you increase only 11%. But your operating cost is increased 28%. So this is a stock country for your balance. I'd like to know is from your order board how you can keep your balance in the future. Because your depreciation also increased to 28%. So let your surplus is only for this small amount, not like the previous year. It's over the 2.1 billion. So I think this one, I hope that from the your water board must be taken care of how you can improve it and less your operating cost. So you must, I like that you get more detail about your operating this expenditure. How why you increased up for 28% from the previous year until now. So this one costs your surplus is a lot. Then, Shepard, I think is, well, the one question is, I'd like to know, you appointed this debt collection company, how much they charge to you for per case? Because it's a big amount. If they charge you for the per case or the per amount, it's a, say, example, you take about 100 million, how much they charge to you? So this cost is inside of your operating cost or the what cost inside. I like this detail for me. Also, you see, you issued a summon for this capital value for 102 million rand for this process be issued. This all the issue to the municipality and the district and the metropolitan. So, but this, you issued this summon, how long they will be paid for this summon? Because you go to the court, you still have to pay the other court charge. So this one's for the cost of other amounts. So I hope this one can get more information for me. Thank you.
Mamsi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to congratulate the department if they've managed to deal with the water boards, because that was worrying. The way those water boards were doing their thing. I was listening carefully and I'm really excited about it. I think the department can do more. There was this consultant business. I listened, it's a bit, now we have a few of them rating, so on. Chairperson, these complained that the municipalities are old. I'm worrying because those municipalities, some of them, they are not playing the game the correct way. I'm telling you, I can quote some provinces whereby there are pipes, there are taps, no water coming out of that. I'm like the Eastern Cape, for instance. And I don't know what really happens. Those people are still getting their water from their rivers. But the pipes are there, the taps are there, nothing doing. And one other thing, you know, some of these townships, they just misuse water. You just drive past, you find that water is running. Who can please try and deal with that? I don't know how, but
but it does happen though. One other thing which I would love to hear from the department, the pace of the miners, licenses, because those people, some of those miners were not paying licenses. But I'm listening, Mr. Mfuken, that there's an improvement. I don't know how far that is. And there was one other thing which I did not understand, but it was quite interesting to me, you know, listening to you say, people apply whilst they are using water. I did not just comprehend very well how does that really happen. Luckily, you know, there was a time at school where there was a teacher who could not deal with the register of attendance. And then when I asked, how can? Then she said, Abarigucha Koskolo. You know? I'm trying to say, every institute has its own language that it uses. Like the department, you know, when they say refurbishment, I don't know, refurbishment, hey, I just don't understand. I think that now. And then you find that the whole sentence about accrual accounting. Non-compliance. And members are just listening. But they can't tell you that, Mkosi, could you just elaborate a bit about refurbishment? Because we deal with the department, so we need to understand some of these terms, because those are the terms used by the department. To get to nothing, they've got their own terms. You get to teaching, you get to whatever, lawyers, they've got their own terms that they use, you know, to explain some of these things. Mind you, I don't just keep quiet reading. I take interest because I want to learn and I want to listen and comprehend you very well when you present. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to first of all ask a question about the Hazelmere Dam and the change of design. Surely the design was approved on strength of the requirement and the scope report and the tender that it had to go out on. If you need to make changes, surely it comes at a cost. Why was it necessary to change the design? Was the previous design inadequate? And if it was, at what cost did the new changes come? And where does that extra additional funding would come from in order to change? I'm concerned about the internal audit's non-compliance, and I think, you know, the fish normally starts rotting at the top, and if the internal audit department is not functioning correctly, how do we expect them to do their job properly in order to ensure that the department is functioning correctly? And considering that this has happened, I want to know what actions have been taken against the internal audit department in order to rectify that, and what is going to be done about it if failing, which if nothing has been done. HR, also non-compliance due to overtime, huge payments of overtime. Is it deliberate that overtime is put to be paid, that we've got such huge vacancies, considering the fact that huge number of unemployment in the country, all the graduates are sitting without jobs, there's a lot of skills available in the country. Why are we not looking at this in order to filling those vacancies instead of concentrating or paying out overtime? And consultants for that matter, which also referred then to the performance report, Why do we need consultants to do that? Maybe we should have capacity in order to address that. If we look at the age analysis, also the outstanding debts, not only by municipalities, that has been an ongoing problem. And I'm not so excited about the reduction because it's absolutely minimal. I really won't get excited about it. I think it's necessary, it's very minimal, and I would actually like to say it's not good enough. What does concern me, though, however, is that national government is owing money. Now, who is the national government that owes this money? Because surely Treasury fall under this. Do we wrap Treasury under the knuckles for this, or what? What is that money out for? And also for the municipalities and district municipalities actually have increased in their outstanding debt and so on. I think that more concerted effort needs to be taken in order to recover the debts. But I'm not happy with the performance as is. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'll make some comments and in between I'll ask some questions if they can be addressed. I'm just thinking back to 6 months ago when we sat with the water trading entity. A lot of what we're hearing now, we heard 6 months ago. And if I analyse this department, and I think you put it very succinctly, we can put it into four categories, Chair. First of all, we can't charge for a product if we don't meter it, if we don't know how much we're selling. That's an issue that's got to be dealt with. But it's got to have some time frames and an implementation plan put in place so we can monitor that. That's the first thing, Chair. Then we're dealing with the issue of licenses. And I like the way the department's wanting to go, looking at getting some sort of legislation where, in fact, if we have illegal users, we've got a form that we can charge those people. Because quite frankly, if I was out there and I realized that there was no accrual system, why would I get a license? I'll just use the water. So I like the way that's going. That's the second thing. These all fall into a position like a house of cards, Chair. So on the licensing, we also need some sort of time frames. We need to do data cleansing. That you also raised in the presentation. But we also need to have a program of action with time frames. Because if what I'm hearing, the amount of correspondence that's coming back, is inaccurate, it then probably ties up with what the AG said, and what concerns me is that our debtors is overstated. So when I talk about data cleansing, I'm talking about the debtors as well. That needs to be put into some sort of plan with time frames. Just to talk about the debtors a little bit, and I disagree with my colleague on the right here. 6%, I think, over 6 months reduction in debtors is a good start. But again, you need to put some sort of targets going forward. Because if I come back here in 6 months' time and you tell me you've only achieved 3 or 4%, then it's going to be a fail. Because you've only just started this program. So again, there we need to put measurable targets with dates, and we need to give ourselves something, some goal to work towards. Chair, I hope I'm rambling, but I'm trying to say that these four issues, the metering, the licenses, the data cleansing, and the debtors, if those issues are addressed, and we've got a roadmap going forward, I believe that we can turn this department around. I honestly believe we can. I'm a little bit concerned that we admit that a lot of our data is incorrect. We've written and sent out letters telling people to apply for water licenses. How do we know that the people using water are in fact getting that request to register for a license if our data is incorrect? Because the last thing we also want to do is start collecting some sort of penalty system when in fact we haven't put out the correct communication to people. Chair, then under just the AG mentioned irregular expenditure gone up by 10 million rand from 2012 to 2013. I don't have an AG's report for this department. was one circulated? And if not, could we get an AG's report for the water trading entity? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Honourable Member. Does anyone want to ask a question? Honourable Bembo?
Thank you, Chair. My question is that we have seen the arrogant protest from the different provinces where people are saying they don't have water for months, for weeks and for days. And we understand that the municipalities are the ones who are supposed to render water services to the communities, but they have failed those people. Therefore, the people, they don't only blame the municipalities, but they blame the government that it has failed them. So what I would like to know from the department is what are they doing to make sure that the people they are getting water? As Mother Galala used to say, that the water is life. But is there any unit within the department that deals with these municipalities who are unable to assist the people to get water? And also, like the department to give us their report on what is being done to those municipalities who have water challenges that leads to protests, especially on water provision. And the second question is whether the department has done skills audit to make sure they employ the relevant skilled people needed by the department, so as to avoid this issue of using consultants for the skills that are supposed to be available within the department, as this would also help on the elevation of understanding as well as and problems that have been identified by the audit report. Thank you.
Want to ask a question? Dr. Huang?
Chair, just add the last question regarding for the overtime charge. I think this AD report is increase, the overtime increase was 30%. I'd like to know why it's increased 30%. And that is overtime, the people is working the same the normal hour from morning to afternoon, then he makes the same day the overtime charge, so he pays double. You know, it's the overtime charge is by labor law is paid, must be paid double. So I want to know this detail. Can submit to me? Thank you.
Before I give it to you, Acting DG, I just want to say the local municipalities are responsible for reticulation. That's point number one. Number two, the department is responsible for bulk water. Now, I just want to check with you. The time you allocate this equitable share to these municipalities, are you giving them specifications of how to use this money or not? Because it's another issue. If there are no water inside the pipes, then it's a problem. Which means we give municipality money for water, and they even get the water, and they don't pay water, which means they get two things from us without responsibility and without accountability and without payment. Can you just add my question on those questions so that you can clarify everybody to understand this thing? Over to you. Respond to the question.
Chair, there's actually a number of questions that has been raised, about bulk of them, and the Mufikeng will respond to them, and Ms. Mathieu will respond to some of the questions, and all other members, and Mrs. Mutsutu, where she has to come in. Just to perhaps respond on your question on whether do we put any conditions when we transfer funds to the municipalities, the answer is yes. We do put conditions in when we transfer. That's why in some instances when we do our quarterly report and monitoring, where the municipality has not satisfied us on the funds that we have transferred, we then withhold the money until the report is of satisfactory. So there are conditions that are put so that the fund is used what it's meant for.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think I must have not been clearly understood, also for the sake of the AG as well, and everybody in the House. Just to make you a little bit, just quick, when you look at the age analysis for March, that is a snapshot of March age analysis. While players, it was sitting at 5.4. But if you go back to the age analysis, you see they were sitting at 4.2. When you look at the August one, the age analysis, so the impact is that at that time, while players were sitting at 2.9, whereas in the 141, they are sitting at about 1.785. What it means, AG, is that then you take the difference. You take the other one in March and you subtract the one in August. It gives you what has been the movement. Because the understanding is that we don't have to have things in the 151. You don't need any. Everything must be either 60 or current. That's how we're looking at it. That's how you determine. It doesn't mean the economy cash people are paying more than what they're supposed to be paid. I thought I should clear that before we move forward. Just make sure. So in essence, what it says that we are having 73, which is collected for the older period. That's all what this report is saying. However, when it comes to municipalities, it's late. It has already increased. So it means municipalities, they will continue, while we build them, they continue to go back into debt without pay. I thought this is a fascinating slide just to illustrate that the work has been done. Now, the questions that our doctor has been asking, firstly, the issue raised was the issue of the revenue, whether the revenue we have, it only increased by 11%, and then the other expenditure grew by 30%. What is informing that, and how do we come about that? What does it mean? In the annual report page 308, will give the honourable members the increase between 2012 and 2013. What are the major increases? Those increases in expenditure is because of construction costs. One is electricity. The other one is the facility management fee for DCA, the material consumed. So if you list that, you will see where does the increase that has been said of 25%, where does it come from? So I think it's all the things that do with our operations. So I'm trying to answer the question that the doctor was asking, where is 28% coming from? Now the impairment, as I said, impairment, again, is on that page, is note number 7. Because of the, and I think the member has said it here, that there might be an overstating of the debtors. Because of that, of the all other issues we have said, there's a problem that we had to now provide more on our bad debt, and that's why now that figure has slightly increased to reduce the 2.1 billion. Then on the depreciation, I said all our assets, our debts, everything, we reevaluate them, and that's why there is an increase, and that means we're saying more money should be taken out of our capex. That's why depreciation is normally subtracting our expenses. So I hope that the income part, as I've explained, that the major reason was the annual tariff as well as the efficiency. One of them there, but we're coming with proper efficiency in terms of billing our customers. I hope I've covered some of the questions. Then he was asking the debt collection. In terms of debt collection, how much are you spending? How much is the service provider charging you? The service provider is charging us 12% for that, for the work that they do. They charge us from all the money that they recover, they charge us 12%. But the 12% they charge us is only for debtors above 60 days. So anyone who's owing us above 60 days and they go and change that person, they get 12% off that amount that they go and change. You ask a question about the summons, whether who are people who are actually majority. Yes, majority of the summons we're going to issue will definitely be going to unfortunately, our municipalities. We have engaged with municipalities, we have engaged with SALGA, but all our engagements have not yielded any results. Most of them have come through, we have confirmed balances, but after confirming balances with them, still they don't want to pay us. And unfortunately, that's where we are saying that we need to do that. The summons themselves will be issued through our own state attorney, the government, we use the state attorney, that will appoint them, we'll have to go to. It's not to the PSP, it's to our own attorney. So it's not a cost that's going to go to them. Then you raise the pace. There's a question about the pace of the licenses. I will leave that to Ms. Mbasa to respond to say how quick are we dealing with the applications of licensing. The issue about people are abstracting water, they apply for abstract water. So they don't wait for us to tell them to say, now you have been approved. And that's why we want to come up with this training measure that we put in place. You have raised the issues. I think we take it, the issue of internal audit, that it needs to be capacitated. I think there is a clear understanding, even from the new organizational structure, that they will have to be properly capacitated to be able to deal with matters. But that is the challenge that we can take back with the acting DG back to our department to finalize. You are asking national government department. I must say that actually that's between myself and the CFO, main account, to sort it out. That the majority of that amount that is still owed is actually water from national water department. In the past, the national water department used to do work for other municipalities and all that. It's something that we still have to sort out between me and the FDG today. The issue of my colleague, the member here, I cannot re-emphasize. Actually, the speakers are saying the timelines, we're talking about the one timelines. There are timelines, but I think we didn't present the timelines today. As we speak, we have gone out on a tender for metering. That tender is closed, has closed. As we speak now, it's in the process of being evaluated, and we believe that we will get the company to be able to install the meters in the areas that are supposed to be installed, and have a strategy as well with regard to that. Because we're talking about measurement, not always only talking about metering, but it's all about measurement. You write about the licensing. I think that process, I think Ms. Baza will respond to that type phrase of that. The issue of the data cleansing, we are doing part of the data cleansing ourselves from the action plan that I've presented today, but there's also another data cleansing which we are using through the VND, that's part of that. Generally, you are right, you will say, maybe the communication, are you, when you're going to do whatever you're going to do, are we sure that the people are aware? Yes, I would say everybody, maybe we have all the information correct, but there are some information that we believe that's correct. Some people do take us for a ride, but we believe that it might be true that some people don't hear us or they don't get the information we want to talk to them. So that's why we're doing a data cleansing. The issue over time, I don't know if the AG said we have spent over time. I know for a fact that we have spent over time, but I don't know. I was able to get quickly to check that one. But over time, I know we have spent over time last year as well because of the post that we didn't fill. And I don't know, it's not a coincidence, but if you check last week Sunday, see the press, we have lots of posts that are coming, that went through. And this week, there will be posts that will be advertised as well for WTE that will be going through the papers again. This Sunday. So we try to fill the vacancies so that there's less reliance on consultants, less reliance on people having to now work more than the hours that they're supposed to be working. Maybe you'll give the head of mayor as well as the protest.
Thank you very much, Chair. On the head of the mayor, the design one is normally done on the basis of preliminary drilling, which takes place through the geotechnical team that goes in and they drill. It is easy when it's a greenfield, but head of the mayor is a very old dam. They went in and they came back and they gave us a result. And when we were ready, having even started the process of procuring the crest gate, then we were sent now the final release. That came back and said, you can't try with that device because the ground is no longer stable since the dam is too old. So it was just a mere, not an oversight, but not realizing beforehand that the ground is not as firm as it was with the initial drilling analysis that took place. So we could not therefore continue that design. We were advised, or was called, I called a review panel to check whether how true is that, and some professors said, oh, don't try. It is risky, go for another design, unfortunately. On the taps that are running empty, it is true, and I must say that I'm glad that today we are able to report that something is taking place. I have been running around. There is a team which is led by the minister. They are calling themselves the Troika, Minister of Human Settlement, Minister of Water Affairs, and Minister of Local Government. They have realized that much as they may have their own respective responsibilities, roaming on fire, they have to join hands and work together. I have since facilitated the signing of three MOUs. Share is one of the beneficiaries of the first MOU, which is a success. The first that Bushbuck Ridge, in 2 months' time, were able to cover through the Troika effort, where they sign the MOU and they bring their teams together. We work as a team, one team, all three departments led by the offices of the Premier. They also signed with the Premier. So Mpumalanga, Limpopo, at Free State, so all those premiers are signed, and then we have, as officials, we have our own implementation protocol. We are zooming in into problem areas. In Mpumalanga, Bushbuck Ridge and MLO were the problem areas. We are ready to hand over those projects. MLO is done. We are ready to hand over the Bushbuck Ridge villages. The Premier has added other villages. He's very excited about it. Same with Limpopo. We're targeting Skupune and Limpopo and Vembe. In Free State, unfortunately, because of the challenges that are there, it does look like we're going to spread the airport in almost the whole province. But the airport is more an eradicating bucket. We have been given a mandate that by December there must not be any bucket system in the country, as well as dealing with emergency water issues. You remember that our responsibility is really to deal with dams and deal with bulk water infrastructure. But we have gone as far as saying, if Rome is on fire, what can be done? The taps that are running dry, the team is saying, let's work together, and we've brought in implementation is through water boards. We have appointed water boards that are operating in those particular areas. They are the implementing agents. So we are just deploying them to go in and do regulation where regulation is incomplete, where there is a need for refurbishment, which is repairing the pipelines that are leaking. And refurbishment is literally just repairing and making good those pipelines that are there. And also what we've also experienced is that some water treatment plants, especially the ones that are managed by municipalities, are not working. So at these days I'm not wearing the head on. I'm also right up to that level, working together with colleagues, talking about just safe delivery. And I think it's working, it's work in progress. We will see end of the financial year the progress, but what we do is just put money together, human settlements, water affairs, municipalities, even the offices of the Premier, and water board as well, because it's their own area of operation. Like in Mpumalanga, they also put in a trade union, and let's just see to it that things are just happening. And I think it worked in Mpumalanga. The MOU of Free State and Limpopo was signed last week. We are hoping that it is going to work as well. Thanks.
I withdraw. DDJ?
I'm through, Chair. I thought you were going to share with the committee that you are one of the beneficiaries of the Troika effort.
I'm happy, very happy. Acting DG, is there anything left?
Deborah is going to respond.
I'm first going to start on the issue of the water that is being wasted.
And Mama Zivala says in township. It is not only in township, it's all over. The department has a program called Water Conservation and Water Demand Management, which relates to water use efficiency. In that program, we are assisting municipalities, especially with non-revenue water. There are various programs there. Some are called Stop the Leaks. We recently started on the No Drop program. That is almost similar to the Blue and the Green Drop program that I think you're aware of. And so we are also stepping up on education awareness. The program has been running for some years now. We are stepping it up just to increase awareness to everybody. I don't know whether you have experience where you pass through toll gates and you are given a pamphlet on tips on how to save water. So we're trying our best in that front as well. This Friday, the Deputy Minister will be hosting sector awards. Those sector awards are on the water conservation and water management. So we're giving awards to those people that have done something special in this field. Let me now move to the issue of licenses and say that the National Water Act has got 5 categories of lawful water use. If you are using water outside of any of the 5, you are automatically unlawful. Now, I need to explain that we are aware that there are unlawful water users. The reason we were unable to deal with them decisively and quickly so, it is because of the delay in capacitating the regulation function of the department. It has recently been lifted from a chief directorate level to a village level to allow us to have more than what we have at the moment at higher levels so that we are able to deal with unlawful water use. The other problem was that we had a huge backlog on applications for water use. Now, at that time, the resources and the focus was placed on processing these applications so that nobody says, I unfortunately was forced to use water unlawfully because you delayed with my application. And that is why we had a SEMA project that was meant to squash the backlog. And I think we've done well in that area. We have not squashed completely, but at least there's an improvement. The third thing that contributes to us maybe not having focused so well or as required on unlawful water use is the issue that has already been raised of our data. If you are to take somebody on, you better be sure of your data and be sure of your story. And that is what we are dealing with at the moment. Currently, the validation and the verification process is the only legal means that is provided for in the National Water Act. And we will deal with that. It is expensive, it is a bit lengthy, but we have to do it by book, otherwise we might be in trouble because we need to be compliant with our own legislation. And I think I have responded to quite a...
Sorry, Honorable Rogers, before you leave, Honorable Members and Administration, I'm just proposing that after the responses, we'll go for lunch, but we must cut our lunch so that we can finish up early. Maybe for 40 minutes lunch, and thereafter we come back. Is it fine? Okay, let's give the ladies who continue with the responses. Thank you, Honorable Rogers. Yes.
Chair, I think I'll download my input.
Chair, I think the managers have responded to all issues except one that was raised by the Honorable Wagner. She was concerned about the functioning of the internal audit and what action have we put in place to or that we have taken against the non-performance. I've indicated earlier on that the result of the non-functioning of the internal audit, it was not actually in a bad faith because of the the skills availability in the unit, but it was the spread of the workload that they have in the sense that they had to service both the main account as well as the WTE. But on the issues of which were also raised by the AG, that the internal audit has to be proactive so that when they come, then we should be aware of those. That has improved. With the plan that we have put in place earlier on, it was indicated that one of the campaigns that we are doing is to do the road shows into the regional offices, because that's where our challenges are. The team of finance does that, and I must indicate that we have also introduced the unit by internal control that will be looking at all the controls, and thereafter internal audit does go and do the audit in preparation for our delivery, so that when AG comes, they should come where we would have addressed the issues. But to alleviate the issue of the workload of the internal audit, I have indicated that we will be implementing the new structure where they have been separated from WTE and main account. Thanks, Chair.
I think we're done with the responses. Is there any follow-up question, Ms. Zavala?
Chairperson, I can't wait to thank, I wonder whether it's the department or whoever, list of abbreviations and acronyms. Thank you very much. At long last, we have heard the cry from this committee. Thank you.
Honorable Zigala, that's words of appreciation from an old woman. She think we must accept. Oh! Okay. This me. Honorable members, that concludes our business for this period until the lunch, but I will request the acting DG and Ms. Togo Sikwazo and AG to come to my table here, and the rest, let's go to lunch. But 40 minutes, strictly 40 minutes. There is a hot snack outside there. Let's grab something and eat. But the three people that I mentioned, please quickly come here so that we can discuss something in camera.
Thank you.